Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Okay, so now, before you got cast as Supergirl, how familiar with were you with the Superman universe? Had you?
Honestly, I was a huge fan of the movies, but I really didn't know the mythology, the comic book. So that was not part of my upbringing or childhood. But I really, really loved the movies, and I think the first two movies already come out by the time I got cast for Supergirl.
Okay, and did you confer with Christopher Reeve at all?
I met him at Pinewood Studios when I was already shooting, and not really confer, no, but it was very fun meeting him, and that was really a great highlight for me.
Cool. Now, director of the film actually said in an interview that he was looking for the person to play Supergirl who was athletic but didn't have big muscles, who knew ballet but and could be graceful. Did you meet any of those criteria, or did you have any athletic training before you started to act?
Well, I had attended performing arts, the high school of performing arts in Manhattan, and we had to take dance class while we were there, and I was taking dance class outside of my performing arts school. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Oh, because there's an echo happening now.
Oh, no, I can hear you.
Okay. Anyway, but I was into, well, you know what, there really is, like, feedback. Everything I'm saying is feeding back. I don't know.
Okay, that's odd.
Can I try calling you back and just see if maybe it's...
Okay, can I call you back on a landline?
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, I'm not in near a landline.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, it's gone. Hold on. It's gone. There it is. It's gone. Okay, I can keep going. So I never did sports, per se, but I did do dance class. And I think that probably was fitting Jeannot's idea of what he wanted for Supergirl.
All right.
Are you there?
Oh, yeah, sorry,
okay,
I'm still here. Sorry. Is it true that you tried to impress the casting director by improvising a costume?
Oh, I don't know that I was impressing the casting director, but yes, I brought in. I made a little cape and some skirt, and I had some boots, and yeah, I definitely went for it.
Okay. Now, once you had accepted the role, did you have any other input into the character's actions or dialogue?
No, I did not.
Hmm. Okay. Now, Supergirl was one of your first movies. Now, as a young actress with very little experience, did you feel intimidated by continuing in the footsteps of a major popular franchise?
You know, I think when you're 18, well, I turned 19 when it started shooting, I think you're just so puffed up that you're not thinking about that as much. Like, for me, what was intimidating was the Peter O'Toole, that he was in the movie, Faye Dunaway was in the movie. But I felt very protected by the Salkins, by the people they had hired to help train me, Alf Joint, the friends I made during this three-month training period. So I felt almost like I was in a bubble a little bit, and I wasn't really exposed to anything, any kind of publicity or that kind of stuff. It was very, very protected, and in that way, I really just felt very safe and, you know, wasn't... It didn't feel as daunting. I think looking back on it, I recognize how daunting it was. What a daunting experience that was.
Now, as you mentioned, the movie had some, you know, fairly major names on board, including like Faye Dunaway and Peter O'Toole. Now, how were they to work with?
Oh, that was just such a great experience for me. The whole spectrum. I mean, Peter O'Toole was just, I still think of as just this incredible mentor who, you know, I don't know if you've read this, I talked about it before, but he would have me do Shakespeare for him and kind of help me get rid of some of my American habits of using my hands too much, which I still do to this day. He said to me, I want you to imagine holding a daffodil between your thumb and your forefinger. while I was doing a speech from Juliet. And, you know, just very much gave me just this incredible light into doing Shakespeare, which I hadn't gotten at performing arts. Or, you know, you just get, you have great teachers. I've had great teachers since Supergirl as well, where you just get more insight into how you're working with text. And then with Faye Dunaway, you know, for me, it was just her professionalism. I was very aware of how, as an extraordinary, beautiful woman, which she is, she was very mindful of how she was being lit, of how she was being presented. And I actually thought it was very helpful, looking back on it now, actually, because she was sort of, there was a self-protection on her part that I think was good.
So now, what kind of training did you receive? You mentioned that you had already had a little bit of dance before, but did you have any other training to prepare physically for the role?
Well, a lot of extensive training once I got to England, because we didn't shoot for the first, I think it was 3 or 4 months, I can't remember exactly, but Alf Joint, who has passed away since, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago he passed away, and he trained Christopher as well. And it was trampolining and running and swimming 3 times a week and weightlifting and, you know, core work like sit-ups. And so it was a lot of training. I gained a lot of weight. I think I gained pounds.
Oh, yes. So now, yeah. The aerial ballet in some scene looks really great on film. How was that achieved? Was that achieved with wires, and how was that to shoot?
That was such great fun. That's one of the highlights of the movies for me. It was done with wires. Back then it was very archaic, although I don't know how they do it now, but when I did it in 1983, they had a construction crane, one of those long-nosed construction cranes, and then they attached 2 piano wires to a track that went horizontally across the construction, across the nose of the crane. And then 2 guys had a rope that was kind of on a makeshift wheel, and if they pulled the rope, I would go up and down. You know, pulled the rope, I'd go up. And another 2 guys had this wheel, actually 2 separate things, and the wheel, if they turned the wheel, I would go across the crane. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they made me fly.
Now, what was the hardest part about the shoot?
The hardest. You know, there's another way that they made me fly, and that was this pole arm that would come out of a green screen, and there was a body cast of my body. And that was very, very tiring just on my back, because you were having to lay in this kind of half body cast, and I would say that was probably the most challenging, but you know, nothing too dire.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is the 25th anniversary of the film this year. What is your fondest memory of making this film?
Oh, I have so many fond memories. I mean, Jeno Swart, the director, he was just so much fun to work with, and obviously getting to work with Peter O'Toole and Faye Dunaway and Peter Cook and all those people. But, you know, my fondest memory, I think, because it was such a coming of age, the whole experience was such a coming of age experience for me. So I would have to say living in England, working at Pinewood Studios, the famous Pinewood Studios, and being, you know, just being plucked, that feeling of being plucked out of obscurity and put into this experience. Just, you know, I really feel like it was a dream come true.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it true that you actually dyed your hair, became blonde for the role, and then kept it blonde ever since?
Well, the blonde that I was in Supergirl was a real bottle job, you know, where it's very bleach blonde. So I don't do that. But I do still highlight my hair, yes.
Okay. Now, was there ever a talk of a sequel, and would you have been back for it?
Yes, of course there was, but the movie didn't do well enough to warrant that.
Mm-hmm. Now, The film was actually recut for an American release. Do you think that hurt the film?
I don't know much about that, unfortunately. I mean, I think I've had some really interesting talks about why the film didn't work for some, or just what the problem was. And I think it has more to do with the actual story of Supergirl, that it wasn't maybe developed in a way that honored that it was a girl as opposed to a guy. And, you know, they didn't quite know back then how to make that storyline work. It'd be interesting to see how it would look today if they ever remade it, what they would do different.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have read that you and Jake Black had pitched a Supergirl comic book to DC.
Yes.
And how did you get reinterested in Supergirl again, and how did it go?
We had the most interesting talks. I went to, I think it was Metropolis, Illinois. There's a comic book convention, or not comic book convention. It's Superman's hometown, and so they have this, I don't know what you would call it, a festival? I'm so sorry, my brain is blanking. But when I was there, they had a bunch of writers and artists, comic book artists, meet, and we all had dinner one night. Jake was there as well, and we just got to talking about mythology, which I'm a huge fan of, and sort of stories of just in our culture, what's going on for young girls today, and what maybe a Supergirl story might look like. And that was, I had a great time working on that, but I guess, I don't know that it's totally dead. It might come back. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, today comic book heroes are often transferred to film. And in the 80s, that was quite a rare thing. Now, you are part of movie history for that, especially for a female superhero. Now, did you find that was a good way of starting your career?
Well, I don't really have anything to compare it to, but I can say that it didn't stop me, because I went on to do some really fun films like Ruthless People and mm-hmm. Secret of My Success, and so in that way, it wasn't a hindrance, which I guess might have been problematic. Maybe that was sort of the blessing in disguise, is that it didn't do so well that it would have sort of stopped me from doing other things.
It didn't it didn't pigeonhole you as a superhero character.
Right. I guess that's the silver lining.
Now, there are a few female superheroes in comic books and movies these days. Do you think Supergirl still has some relevancy for young girls and teens of today?
You know, I'm not familiar. I'm still not really plugged into the comic book world, and I just don't feel like I can comment on it. I'm just not educated in that world to say that I can compare it to something.
Okay, so now for people that haven't seen Supergirl yet, and I mean, I don't think there are very few that haven't, what would you say to them to go and buy the DVD to get the experience?
Oh, that's interesting. What would I say? Well, I do think you're right. In terms of just a film historical context, a lot of times I think it's interesting to look at, I think this is going to be seen as an interesting foray, like it's the first female foray in a superhero in film. Like, I really think you're right, or I can't think of what was done before that. So just in terms of tracking movies and cinema and how film is kind of figuring it out, this is a really, just even from a film historian point of view, it's interesting to have that, to just clock it and see, look at that, and now even just fast forward 25 years and see how far it's come along, not only technically, but the female characters that they've also have tried to, they've brought back also female comic book heroes in some of the movies in the last couple of years. I don't know, I think it would be interesting, people studying film or mythology or any of that, even archetype psychology, seeing how it's progressed in our culture.
Okay. So now, what has been the most unusual place that you have either seen Supergirl or any of your films?
Unusual
circumstance. I'm sorry?
I don't understand the question.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. The most unusual place that you've ever seen your films, like you've been walking in the mall or you've been at a hotel and just happened that your film is on, like, what... Where has been the most unusual place?
I don't really have an answer for that. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen it in an unusual place. I mean, I've seen it on television, but it's in my own home occasionally. Like City Slickers would be played once or a couple of times, and I kept seeing clips of it or something of it. But that's not really unusual. That's just normal.
Okay. Well, now actually, you returned to the super universe by playing Clark Kent's biological mother in Smallville.
Right.
Now, was that just another acting job, or did you accept the role as it was sort of going back to the Supergirl days?
Well, they offered me that part, and I had so much fun doing it. They're just wonderful, just a wonderful group of people over there. And they have, in the past, anyone who's familiar with Smallville, they do tip their hat a lot to the movies that have been made. Mm-hmm. In that way, by bringing actors in or voiceovers, or, you know, they find ways to do it. So for the people that really love the whole Supergirl comic book or Superman comic book, I think it was fun to sort of see that, you know, this sort of double, the surprise that I was playing Superman's biological mother.
Mm-hmm. So now, Mark McClure was also, who played Jimmy Olsen in Supergirl, he was also involved with Smallville. Did you talk about past adventures on screen?
I didn't work with him when I didn't get a chance to see him, unfortunately. That would have been great fun.
Oh. So now, would you consider returning to Smallville again if they want Laura back?
Oh, yes. They did blow me up into a million pieces, but someone was saying to me, you know, that means nothing if you're in a science fiction show.
So, looking back over the 25 years of Supergirl and actually your involvement with the super universe, do you have any anecdotes that you'd like to share that maybe we didn't share during the interview?
Of things from the last 25 years about Supergirl?
Yeah, about Supergirl or your work with Smallville.
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to really think. I was very moved when I met, I think, I'm so sorry if I'm saying her name wrong. I think it's Laura Vanderhort, or she plays Supergirl in Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little bit of a shock, like, because she's exactly my age when I was playing it. She might even be 1 or 2 years older. And it was, I just remember being a little bit like, I don't know, almost as if you're seeing yourself 20 years ago.
Okay.
And that had a really odd feeling to it when we were on the set and just watching. She was so poised and lovely and just something about the whole thing. I really had a kind of odd, almost, I don't know, it's not eerie, but just thinking, wow, that was me 20-something years ago, right? Like, mm-hmm. Not exactly, but just that whole young ingenue where it just had a certain energy to it. And I remember being really, I really thought about that I was aware of the difference and how pure that age seems. It's how kind of, I don't know, just it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and it's unusual because it's not who I am right now. So, you know, I've grown, obviously, and gotten married and had a child, mm-hmm. and traveled and read books, whatever, all the other stuff that goes in between. So that was kind of weird. It almost felt like a Star Trek episode where you're going back in time and you're, like, seeing yourself for a second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate the time that you've given me today, Helen.
Thank you so much. That was really enjoyable.
Okay, and I hope that your career continues on the incredible path that has been past and future.
Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. You take care.
Oh, well, you too as well. Have yourself a
bye
great day.
Bye.
Okay, bye now.
Thanks. Bye.